All right, gang. So today we have someone that is super relatable for the entrepreneur that wants to be. This guy started his business like a month ago and is like pretty much killing the game already. Like, Sid, what was it? What he was telling us?
Yeah, in just his first month alone, he had 2,000 views on his website. And then another sweet stat is that he has 300 followers in just his first month of launching. So everyone give it up for Drew Joyner from Edward Joyner.
Hey.
I honestly wish I had 2,000 people trying to see what I was doing. Man, I feel like I was a celebrity. Drew, we're going to give you the floor and let you tell us your story. What's up with Edward Joyner, this up-and-comer?
So, yeah, I mean, as they both introduced me, Sydney and Colin, my name is Drew. I am the founder and the creative director of Edward Joyner. Started the company the beginning of this year, and we launched early May. Edward Joyner is how I would define it. It's a lifestyle brand that brings simplistic, minimalistic, polished designs to fashion. And we also have a huge backing in sustainability. We also have a Beyond the Garment publication where we write about art, culture. We write about anything that has to do with fashion. So that's kind of what the gist of the business is. And just to kind of go off and talk a little bit more about, you know, why I started it is, you know, I've always had this kind of passion for fashion, excuse me. And it's just something that I developed over the sophomore and junior year of my college experience at DU. I went to University of Denver in Colorado. And, you know, just always being a fan of these brands like Supreme and Fear God and kind of some of these more hypebeast or, you know, higher end brands and the style that they brought to basically, you know, my community, my college community. I wanted to kind of touch and bring my own kind of touch into the fashion game. And so I decided to start Edward Joyner. I knew I wanted to be sustainable. So all of our garments are sourced here in the United States. Our cotton is sourced in the United States. And then actually, I'm sorry, it's finished in Canada. And so that's a huge component to our sustainability. We make sure that, you know, all of our packaging is 100% recycled and from recycled material as well. None of our garments are sealed in single-use plastics, which is a huge component to sustainability as well. And, you know, these components are hugely important to us, right? Because a lot of times in fashion, you have things that are done in an unsustainable way, whether they are the materials used in the garment or whether they are the packaging. So that's a little bit about Edward Joyner, but you know, you kind of get a little bit of a gist of what we're about. So,
yeah, I don't know. As people have probably heard on here before, I know literally zippo about fashion. Like, I'm, you know, out here in my t-shirt and shorts every day. So, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got your vision for your clothing? I mean, I know you touch on some brands and you want to get into that, but how did you actually come up with the design yourself and then be able to put it into play?
So my background, I grew up an athlete, right? Like all my life I played sports. And so for the majority of my life, I wasn't really interested in art or design or anything of that nature. But towards the end of my career, which is towards the end of my college experience, which I graduated in 2020, towards the end of my college experience, you know, I looking for things that I could do beyond basketball. And so something I took up really seriously was drawing and design. And so, you know, back in 2019, every day I would study, I would practice, I would, you know, YouTube University things, I would look things up, I would practice them, and I would just repeat, you know, rinse and repeat over and over and over again until I kind of found out, you know, what I really wanted to create. And the brands and the things that always stuck out to me in fashion were things that were, you know, simple, they were easily communicated. And so that's kind of the direction I went with the design that I created. So our premier hoodie, which is our only product right now, is designed to not only be clearly communicated. I wanted to clearly communicate a polished look. I wanted to look pristine. I wanted to look higher end than something that is, that has a lot of just clutter in it. And so that is a huge reason why. I mean, the design is very simple. It's a Garamond italicized E and a J. And I mean, that's our first item. And so, you know, from here on out, we're going to be creating and curating more products that are, you know, that go deeper into to my level of creativity and that go, you know, beyond what we're doing right now. But for the start, I wanted to have something easily communicated, something people understand, and that's kind of what I created. So
that's sweet. I know I've done a little bit in apparel work, and it's definitely a lot of processing. But one question I have right off the bat is, why did you name it Edward Joyner if your name is Drew Joyner?
Yeah. So my formal name is Andrew Edward Joyner, right?
Okay, there we go.
Yeah. So
he's got a cool name. Like, that's sick.
That is sick.
Like, that, like, it feels like a fancy fashion brand. Like, yeah. Honestly, dude, like, when I saw it, I was like, that's literally perfect.
Thank you, guys. So, yeah, I mean, my name is Andrew Edward Joyner. It was given to me by my mother. And like you kind of alluded to, Colin, it's just something that, you know, when you hear Edward Joyner, it has a kind of classy or, like, you know, kind of pristine ring to it. And it's just also something that, you know, I can love and appreciate and still be a part of and still, like, care for when I'm, you know, 32, when I'm 42, when I'm 52, when, you know, when I'm 92. It'll always be my name. So I'll always have an appreciation for it. And so that's why the naming is what it is.
I love that. Okay, my second question is, so you launched one hoodie, a sweatshirt, right? Okay. What was your thought process behind only launching one product? Did you think about launching multiple? Was it hard, like, with capital? Like, what was your thoughts behind only launching one product?
The reason why I wanted to launch one product is it's multifaceted. So it is in part a little bit about capital, but it also is about the sustainability piece. Something that's a goal for me is something that I want to do with my business is I want to be able to sell out every single thing that I produce, right? And selling out every single thing that I produce, that in and of itself creates a brand that is not contributing to the waste that already exists in the fashion industry, right? And so that waste is a huge component to why a lot of times, you know, American or even just international shoppers who buy clothing, you know, why it's unsustainable, because you get something one season and you throw it out the next. And it becomes unfashionable. So the garments that I wanted to create are, you know, they're sustainable in the fact that where they're sourced. They are an extremely soft cotton blend. You're getting, you know, a very limited product, right? It's not going to be coming back out for a very long time, if ever. And those factors are played into, you know, how I want to position the brand and why we only have the first thing, the first hoodie.
I like that. That's cool. Okay.
So let me ask you this. The way that your business model is set up, are you a drop ship guy that you've designed your own clothing, or you have your inventory and you're dealing with inventory, or how does it work for you?
So I control all of the inventory. So it's actually right behind me, right? So I do all of the packaging, the shipping. If you look at our Instagram, I have a time lapse of me going in and packaging all the sustainable packaging that we have, the recycled material that we use, and you can see the entire process. You know, I take the boxes. They come, you know, they come unfolded. I fold them up. Obviously, I construct them. I take the recycled tissue paper that we use. I put the garment in the recycled tissue paper. I fold it up, we put a sticker on top, and we put a sticker on the inside that's an Edward Joyner sticker. And then I also have a We Care card that also goes inside the box. That box is a recycled mailer that goes inside of another box, which is a shipping box. And then I take the cellulose tape that we use, which is a biodegradable material, and I take that, and then I ship it out to the customer. So.
Gotcha. So let me ask you this. Just one question I have to ask before we, like, go too much further is, have you guys ever been, like, on a boat and you get off the boat and you're still rocking? Like, this window behind me is literally just going all over the place, like, in circles. Like, I'm literally just, like, over here.
You sure you're not drunk?
Rocking around. It's like, literally, I feel like I'm dry drunk. Like, it's not, it's like, I'm trying to do this podcast right now and stay focused, and this window's moving behind me. Like, it's not okay.
Oh, my gosh.
For all you wondering why I'm dry drunk, I just spent like 8 hours or something, like 50 miles offshore in a blue marlin fishing tournament, and I'm just like I don't even know what's going on.
Colin's
right now.
Losing it.
I am. Like, I'm just in the head. Like, I can't figure out why I'm just, like, the whole house is moving around me.
Oh, gosh.
Anyways, sorry to throw you guys off track. I just thought it would be entertaining. Well, let me ask you, how, you know, I have a deep love for the outdoors. Obviously, that's why I'm down here fishing, and I obviously love to hunt. And in the outdoors, sustainability is a huge thing. In the rest of our world, sustainability is something that, as we go forward, people need to pay more attention to. And I think that's becoming not only apparent in the pandemic, but with everything else that's happening in the world. You know, we need to treat our world. It's our only one. I mean, God's not making us another planet. You know what I mean? So I think it's amazing what you're doing. But let me ask you, how did you learn about sustainability? Because it took me a long time as an outdoorsman to really put my hands in the dirt and feel it and feel the earth and feel, you know what I mean? Like, and give back after I've taken from the earth. I mean, how did you learn how to do that?
And it's kind of, that's a good question, Colin, because it's kind of crazy how, if I think about it, how I learned about it. I think it started for me in when I was about a sophomore in college, and I took a course about, you know, the environment. I took a course about Earth and how, you know, how we're destroying the environment. And so from there, I kind of learned a little bit more about, you know, the different ways in which we're contributing to the harm of the planet, whether it be the food industry or the fashion industry. And it just was like fascinating to me how the little decisions that I made like had a large effect on the greater earth. And so for me, it was just something that I, you know, took the time to research outside of class. I have a wonderful, wonderful girlfriend who also is very educated in sustainability. And, you know, she has educated me immensely. And we watch documentaries and do those kind of things. And specifically for my business, there's a lot of things that are just a part of the business that our tradition that don't really, you know, make sense. They're done because it's always been done this way, and no one ever took the time to say, you know, is this the best way to do it? And that's just for a lot of industries when it comes to sustainability. Like, things are just done for profit, and as a result, you cause harm to the individuals and the earth because you only care about that one thing. And so not only do we want to, you know, have that shift from only caring about product or only caring about profit, rather, we want to make things, you know, sustainably. We want to do things with the consumer in mind and can still have a good consumer experience. But we also want to make sure that every single thing that, you know, is made with a consciousness that this is not going to be harmful to the environment. This is not going to be harmful to the ocean, or this is not going to be harmful to the sea turtles or the deer or the whatever. Because at the end of the day, everything is connected. Every ecosystem is connected, and what we do affects it. So it's just, then once you learn about it, you can't unlearn it, and it just snowballs. You just continue to grow and grow and grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I appreciate that from the standpoint of an outdoorsman. I mean, I don't think enough. I know a lot of people out there in the world kind of say that they want to be conservationists or want the world to be sustainable, but no one ever does anything about it. And so I'm just saying thank you from an outdoorsman's perspective. Thank you for doing what you're doing.
So your thought process behind sustainability kind of made me think of my ethics, business ethics class I took last year. And one question my professor asked me, which like I still think about to this day because everyone has so many different answers to it. But he asked, what responsibility... Oh my gosh, I keep like choking on my words. Okay. What responsibility do you think businesses have in their sustainable impact?
My answer to that is they have all the responsibility and more. Let's think about this for a second, just as a conversation between all three of us. We're communicating on computers, right? We're using Zoom to talk to each other and do this podcast. Mm-hmm. You're probably using an iPhone or a Mac or whatever computer you're using. The businesses that make up the world are the things that contribute to the world the most. Everything is either a business or it's government, right? So whether it's a business that creates computers, which is what we're communicating with now, whether it's a business that, you know, sells frozen pizzas, whether it's a business that sells clothing, every single business has a responsibility to the environment and to the people that live in the environment, which is everyone. So I mean, that answer for me is 100%, it's on the responsibility of the business, and every business should be considering, you know, how, what effect are they having? Because they're having an effect.
Yeah, but I mean, to your point too, and I don't, you know, business is one thing, but I think if you take it a whole nother level, I mean, maybe this is something that you look at in the future, is the actual sustainability and how people feel as your employees. You know what I mean? Like, because our earth is, it's everyone's earth. It's not just one person, and I think, or one business that needs to do it. Everyone shares the same planet. So it's like, you know, that's just, that would be my thought on it, you know?
I agree. Okay, so kind of hopping off the sustainability train and back into like a little bit more of the design artistic part of your business. Like, where do you get your inspiration? Do you have any like favorite companies? I know you mentioned Supreme and Fear God. And then like, do you have any new designs coming out soon, or are you still planning those out right now?
Yeah, those are great questions. I would say my inspiration comes from a few different artists. Not even necessarily like artists or designers who make clothing. There's this really, really great artist named Brian Donnelly, who is informally known as Cause, but you know, his more infamous name is Cause. And he kind of makes these companions or these figures that are just really fun and really enjoyable. He's a very big artist that I really look up to. Someone else I look up to, Jerry Lorenzo. He owns a brand called Fear of God, and it is a very, very cool brand that someone else I look up to. Ruigi, I don't know his last name, but this other brand called Rude, another great, great designer. So those guys are they do what I kind of talked about earlier. They communicate messages effectively, and you know, whether they are showing something that is, you know, retro or vintage, and they're putting their own twist on a retro design that maybe came out in the 80s or 90s of a logo or an icon from those time periods and revamping it, or if they're, you know, using typography to create their designs or anything in between, those are some people that I really look up to.
Have you ever thought about reaching out to any of them and seeing like what their process was and how they got to where they are?
I haven't, because they are, you know, very large, you know,
the big dogs.
But yeah, they have pretty big personalities on the socials and whatnot. So I've never tried. I mean, it's worth a try though, because you never know. You really never know.
That's right.
But in terms of what designs that we have coming up for us, we actually have something coming out later this month that I'm really, really excited. No one really knows about yet. And it's going to be a product that is going to be really fun for the summertime. I don't know how to walk around it. I don't want to spill too much of the beans, but it's going to be something really, really cool that I'm really excited for. It's also, you know, obviously it's going to be sustainable and those things. And it also has to do kind of with current events. And I'm really excited for that. So we have a new design actually that'll be coming out very soon, and it should be, you know, late June, early July. So
that's exciting. So one thing for a lot of startups is they struggle with their marketing and like getting on social media and like having a presence. So how have you found in the last month, because you just launched a month ago, that, I mean, you have 300 followers already, and that's really impressive. So what have you done, or what's your strategy behind your marketing and reaching people on social media?
We have a lot of strategies. So the brand is on, you know, and we use social media like, you know, very seriously. Social media, I feel like, is a very serious way to get your business out there in the eyes of other people. So we have social media. We have Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We have a LinkedIn. We have a Pinterest. I just got done making a TikTok. I mean, I think that there's a way to communicate your story
TikTok.
I'm telling you.
TikTok.
There's a way to communicate your
story. It's where it's going.
Huh?
I better get behind the train though, cause it's leaving the station and I ain't on it yet.
Yeah, you better hop on, brother. But I mean, in all seriousness, any way you can communicate your message to your audience, I think you're in better shape. So we use social media very seriously. Another way, obviously, is with podcasts. This is a podcast that I was obviously attracted to the Founders Journal. It's a great podcast. It's about something that I'm really interested in, obviously. And, you know, I've done other podcasts as well, and it actually has really, really helped tell my story. So that's one way. And I would say, thirdly, influencer marketing, right? So you have, obviously, influencers who are going to, you know, bring in a gathering. And we don't pay our influencers or anything of that nature. But we try to find people who are, you know, below the level of celebrity status, or below the level of, like, this person's famous, to where maybe they're up and coming, or maybe they're, you know, they just have, you know, 10,000 or whatever, however many followers, just so we can have a real organic reach in terms of those things. So I would say social media, you know, podcasts, getting your message out there, and then influencer marketing is a huge, huge piece. And we do some other things too, like ads and whatnot here and there, but not as much as the other things.
Yeah, I got two questions. Drew, I know you're in a marketing space. I know you have a different job as a marketing, and that's kind of how you learned how to do that, was your full-time job and get everything up and rolling. Shoot, I'm going to blank out. Why did I do that? Let me ask you this, though. Do you ever feel like, so recently I started my own little social media hustle. Now I'm up to 7 clients, and I handle their Instagram and Facebook and all this stuff. And the other day I had one of my buddies call me and say, hey man, I just got on with so-and-so. I just talked to so-and-so, big hunting guys in Colorado, some of the best, and they want me to come work for them, whatever. And they got like 45,000 followers on Instagram. And I work for some guys in another part of the state that don't have as big as a social media presence, but have been around for 20 years. Their name is super well known, some of the best in the state. And what I can't figure out is why our generation links success to followers. And I don't know how you guys feel about that, but for me personally, I looked at it, and I'm running all the social media stuff, so I'm getting into data, and I'm getting into the algorithm, and I'm getting into hashtags and all this stuff. But I'm actually seeing the business owners and who they are and trying to portray that onto their social media, because honestly, it makes me mad. It makes me mad because they've never met the person in real life. You know, we've never met you, and you're a great dude, and you got great products, and you do good work, but you don't have 45,000 followers, so you're not successful. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how you feel about that. I mean, what do you both think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not considered successful, but I mean, for me, I don't define success by, you know, the amount of followers I have on social media. And for each person, I mean, they can define, if someone wants to define success as, you know, social media followers, then that is what I like to call, like, vanity stats. Like, it's just
fake.
It's fake. Yeah, it's fake. It just boosts your, you know, whatever, your confidence. At the end of the day, you know, most businesses are in business, and you've probably heard this, are in business to make a profit, right? To make money. But for us, it's not just about, you know, making the money. And we, as much as we care about, you know, our community, what we consider success is a combination of, you know, how much benefit can we bring to the people around us, right? Like, if I sell out all of my hoodies, and, you know, I don't ever get to see the joy or the enjoyment of the people I sell them to, I don't ever get to see, you know, how it benefits their life. They don't, I mean, because for me, all the things that I've sold and all the garments that we've sold, everyone reached out to me and said, Drew, this is an amazing hoodie, amazing quality. Like, it literally became like the best piece in my wardrobe, one of the best pieces as a hoodie, right? And that's the kind of the value I want to bring to people. And that's what I look to more as a metric of success than, you know, the amount of followers I have. And the amount of followers I have, I would always want to have quality over quantity anyways. Like, I'd rather have 100 good people, you know, behind me than 10,000 people who just, you know, write me off because it doesn't really matter to them. So.
Very true. I think my position behind this is, so on my business account right now, I have like 2,000, 3,000, kind of this range of like, kind of have like an established following, but like kind of still like super beginning, obviously. But what's interesting to me is, like, I'd rather have 100 followers that are super interactive with my account and my business, like, loving on the brand and placing orders than, you know, a 3,000 robot followers that don't do anything, you know? So I think that's really valuable when you're saying, like, I want to get the compliments of, like, hey, this is my favorite piece in my wardrobe, and, like, have it be more of a sincere connection, and, like, then they start loving the brand. So, yeah, that's kind of my idea behind it. Colin, what do you think?
Yeah, I just think it's interesting, you know, for me, everyone knows, and I've said this before, but I'm a person-to-person, I want to shake their hand, look them in the eyes, and get to know them kind of guy. I care more about what you have to say as a person than what you're doing as a business. If I don't feel like I trust you, then I'm probably not going to do business with you. And the truth behind it is, I'm afraid for our generation that that's going to go away. Because of how big social media is, we've never seen anything, think about it, never in our parents' life, our grandparents' life, anything like this, anything, nothing, you know what I mean? And God bless our children who have to learn about 2020 in a history book. I mean, my goodness, you know what I mean? Like, but I think there should be a huge lesson on social media and the history of how it's changed business and how it's changed our generation's mindset of success. Because someone, just because they have, could be making no money, $0, but have 125,000 followers and they're successful or famous. To me, that ain't it. I don't know. That's just my take on it, my two cents. And I think it is cool. Don't get me wrong. It is such an important piece of business in our generation and marketing. I mean, Drew, you could tell us working for a company that that's what you do. Yeah, it's so important. But I think it's also important to look behind that following and who they are as a person. You know what I mean? Drew, let me ask you this before we kind of wrap things up. The mentality that you've developed as an athlete that has bled into creating a business and just launching. I know there's a lot that goes into launching your website and launching sales. Can you talk about the mentality that an entrepreneur has to have and how that is related? You've taken that from athletics. And how you've used it to your advantage and how someone else can learn that mentality and what someone can do to get started, you know, right now.
Definitely. I think, you know, my background as an athlete is helped me immensely because, you know, when you play sports, and if any of you played sports, either one of you played sports, or if you've done anything really that's difficult, whether it be, you know, fishing or whether it be anything, right?
Yeah, looking for blue marlin in the ocean. These guys that I'm down here with, they start saying all these things about blue water and grass lines and all this stuff. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to just stay out of your way. I'm going to just watch. We're looking for invisible fish.
Exactly. I mean, that's how it feels sometimes when you start a business, too. You're looking for an invisible person. Like I don't know who. Like, you think to yourself, I don't know who's going to buy this. I don't know where I'm going to find them. But somewhere down there in the ocean, they're there. You know, you just got to fish them up.
I love it.
And the thing is, too, you know, my perspective as an athlete is I played basketball my life. And so being a basketball player, doing anything, like I said, you know, you come up to challenge. You come up to adversity. And that adversity really humbles you, right? You know, you practice all night, and the next day you play a game and you don't score, right? How do you react? Or you spend 2 months on a website, or you spend 3 months on a website or a product, and someone, you know, tells you it sucks. So it's about managing your expectations and also knowing that what you bring to the table is valuable. It's all about mentality, honestly. Business is, and that's, you know, life is all about mentality. It's how you approach, you know, negativity, how you approach adversity, and if you approach it the correct way, you can, you know, get through any difficulty. And, you know, I advise anyone, if they're going through something, you know, difficult, whether it is trying to sell a product or trying to grow your business, that, you know, when you start or when you're going through it, you know, try different things. Because at the end of the day, business and life is about trying something and seeing if it works. And if it doesn't work, then you readjust your strategy and you try again. And you never really fail in that mentality. You just continue to work. You continue to hone in on your skills, and you'll find a way to accomplish what you want to accomplish. So,
love it, man. Love it. I tenfold cannot agree more with you. You know, sometimes things get tough, but you just get up and you go to work and you keep going, you keep grinding, and people with your type of mentality, those are the type of people that go far. I know I am definitely looking forward to watching you grow, watching you release products, and turn into pretty much a BA, man. Like, that type of mentality is going to take you really far in life. So I can't wait to watch.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on here, too. It was a pleasure meeting you both.